The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome one and all, down here, up there, out there, all around the world. Welcome to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. We had a little fun last week with Kevin McCarthy being dragged by a team of horses through a field filled with broken glass. But all good things must come to an end, because on the 15th vote, Kevin McCarthy was finally elected Speaker of the House. The final vote was not completed until 12:29 a.m. Saturday morning. 12:29, of course, a time famous for good decisions. All right, we just elected a new speaker. I'm gonna drunk dial my ex and eat this week-old sushi. It all came down to the vote of Florida congressman and middle schooler going in for his first kiss. Matt Gaetz.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I like that timing. That worked, actually. That was nice. McCarthy thought he had the whole thing in the bag on the 14th, but in order to win, he needed Gaetz on that vote to vote for him, to say McCarthy. Instead, at the very end of the 14th ballot, Gaetz voted present. Okay, that must have upset a lot of people, because there's nothing worse than being reminded that Matt Gaetz is in the room. After that, all pluperfect hell broke loose. A furious McCarthy got out of his seat, walked up the aisle, and got into a yelling match with Gaetz. Me, ouch! Get a saucer of milk. You can catch all the drama on the new Bravo hit, The Real House Guys of D.C. No. 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 Uh-uh. I am not here to make friends, because I'm Kevin McCarthy and no one will be my friend. Then, that was wine. That was a glass of wine. Then, it got even dramatic-er when McCarthy ally Mike Rogers approached the scrum, and then, where is it? Right here. He appeared to lunge at Matt Gaetz and was quickly pulled away. Oh, my God. I don't know if men should hold political office. They're just too emotional. Hormones, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's their damn hormones. Jim, can we see that dramatic moment from another angle? Wow. Why? I don't understand. I understand pulling away, but why is he covering his mouth? What was Rogers about to say that they had to stop him? Listen, Gaetz, let me tell you something about the ending of season 2 of White Lotus. It was... Okay, so how did we get from that to McCarthy winning in just a matter of minutes? Well, one person who would really like credit for it is former President Forrest Dump. Sorry, Tom. See you later. With the House on the brink of adjourning yet again with no speaker for the weekend, the former president claims to have taken matters into his own hands after the 14th vote and called the McCarthy holdouts, leading to this picture of Marjorie Taylor Greene passing her phone around so people could speak to a caller identified as DT. Of course, we're talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene here. So that could either stand for his initials or the president. President. After the vote, McCarthy was beaming. Here he is after his victory, showing his party what they get to spend the next 2 years repeatedly banging on his nutsack with. It's gonna be rough. It's gonna be a rough ride.
Oh, God. Here we go.
He better wear a cup.
Here we go.
It's gonna be a little rough. In the midst of this cluster munch, McCarthy explained why the embarrassing spectacle we were all witnessing was actually not.
See, this is the great part. Because it took this long, now we learned how to govern.
Really? Just this last week, you learned how to govern. There are some things that you shouldn't learn through trial and error at the last minute. It's like a surgeon saying, well, took me 15 tries to open my Capri Sun, but this triple bypass should be a snap. Now, where's the piece of foil on your chest where I poke the straw? I'm gonna suck out that heart attack. Jim Jordan also hopped on the positivity train, explaining that this is how things are supposed to work.
So sometimes democracy's messy, but I would argue that's exactly how the founders intended it.
Oh, everyone knows the founders loved chaos. It's right there in the preamble to the Constitution. We the people, in order to form a more bam, whap, whap, screw you, Madison, I'm writing the Constitution now. Everyone remember the name Charles Cotesworth Pinckney. Ow, my eye! Quick programming. So that's that. Oh, quick programming note. I have a program. Check it out. You might like it. And you might like it especially tomorrow when my guest will be Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, right there. Yeah, ooh, indeed. Prince Harry will be here all to talk about his new memoir, Spare, also available in audiobook and commemorative plate. I've read the book. Mm-hmm. I've read the book. It's very enjoyable, quite emotional, quite revealing. I'm going to have so much to talk about with His Hairiness. For instance, the stuff he talked about with Anderson Cooper, including this high school memory between him and his brother that's straight out of the older brother-sibling playbook.
Your brother told you, pretend we don't know each other.
Yeah, and at the time, it hurt. I couldn't make sense of it. I was like, what do you mean? We're now at the same school. Like, I haven't seen you for ages. Now we get to hang out together? He's like, no, when we're at school, we don't know each other. And I took that personally.
Well, that's heartbreaking. I mean, to be rejected by his older brother at school, even though that magic hat sorted them into the same house. What do you think? Hufflepuff? Mm. We think Hufflepuff, Gryffindor? I'm not sure.
No.
The book also contains a rather crisp description of Harry's older brother.
You write about a contentious meeting you had with him in 2021. You said, I looked at Willie, really looked at him, maybe for the first time since we were boys. I took it all in. His familiar scowl, which had always been his default in dealings with me, his alarming baldness, more advanced than my own, his famous resemblance to Mummy, which was fading with time, with age. It's pretty cutting.
I don't see it as cutting at all.
No, because William's so bald, he doesn't need any cutting. Am I right? Am I right, Harry? Come on, up top, baby. Don't leave me in the Tower of London up here. Tune in tomorrow to find out if he leaves me hanging. So, speaking of foreign leaders in conflict, there's a huge story out of Brazil, the country whose motto is Portuguese. We speak Portuguese. They just had a presidential election, and the loser was far-right politician and turtle who just saw you drop a baby carrot. Jair Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro claimed he lost because of voter fraud. Now, if that sounds familiar, this will too. Yesterday, Bolsonaro supporters rioted, storming Brazil's Congress and presidential office. No. I cannot watch this movie again. I know how it ends, with all of us suddenly liking Brazilian Liz Cheney. I can't like her again. I can't. This is my emotion. See my emotion?
I see you.
The rioters were eventually cleared out, but it was a dark day for Brazilian democracy, leading experts to say January 8th is Brazil's January 6th. Just like our January 6th, the Brazilian insurrection had rioters storming the halls, attacking cops with flagpoles, and smashing windows. Wait a second, they're already inside. Why are they going after the windows? They're going to get charged with breaking and exiting. Similarities do not end there. Videos on social media appeared to show a protester about to defecate inside a room at the Supreme Court. Oh, no. Now they'll have to clean up the... Madam Pelosi, can you help me out?
The poo-poo.
Sorry. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Of course... ma'am, it is Brazil. Can you do it? I'm Portuguese.
O coco.
Obrigado. Ah. One of the reasons this felt like a deja coup was when Bolsonaro was trying to find a way to spin his election loss, his allies met with some of our former president's advisors, including Steve Bannon. Oh, no. Steve Bannon's gone Brazilian? Regular Steve Bannon was bad enough. No one wants to see him in a thong. Now, just so you know, my graphics department did create an image of Steve Bannon in a thong. But the CBS lawyers told us that broadcasting it would violate the Geneva Conventions. I'd be hauled before The Hague. So, how did all these Americans teach these Brazilians how to insurrect just like us? Well, we've got the answer in the form of a new Late Show sponsor.
Were you inspired by the January 6th rioters, but aren't sure how to insurrect in a non-English-speaking country? Well, now you can with Cuolingo, the only app that teaches you how to unsuccessfully overthrow your government in over 70 languages. Whether it's Spanish, German, Chinese, or even Swedish, we've helped thousands go from hunting speakers.
Where are you, Nancy? We're looking for you.
To language speakers.
Je suis en prison.
So try Cuolingo today. Cuolingo, available in most languages, except whatever this is. Ananamas.
We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Tom Hanks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Folks, you're in luck, because my guest tonight is an Oscar winner who's been starring in your favorite films for over 3 decades. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Mr. Tom Hanks.
I just, you know, Hanks, thank you. Oh, please, thank you, thank you. Come on, sit down. Don't have to. Turn off the sign. Turn off the sign. Yes, yes, I know, I know. I know. You remember me from the days when we all had VHS machines. I really appreciate that.
Nice to see you again. Nice to have you back here.
I always look forward
how
to
was the, how was the holidays?
Well, it was rocking, you know. We ripped it up.
Everybody stay healthy and everything like that?
We took tests every 7 hours, and they came back with only one line on them.
Exactly.
So all the kids got to stay. It was kind of nice.
I understand you started a new Hanks family tradition, and I'd like to get an introduction to it.
Well, the Christmas season began for us because we actually saw your musical guest tonight, Rachel and Bill Ray.
Oh, really? Yeah.
They're fabulous.
Fantastic.
We caught them.
Nice to have here, but that's
they
exciting.
Are. You
that's
guys exciting. Are going to. Yeah. By the way, I bought all their records, right? I went on iTunes.
Everybody knows. Fantastic.
Yeah. You better treat me special. Yeah. You could have done me better. So we saw them, and we were at the Cafe Carlisle, which is a great place to go. My wife had played there. Rita had played there with a band, and they were the next act. So we had a celebratory bottle of champagne. Brought by. And I, despite a couple of evenings I've had with you, which ended up with fistfights in front of Mickey Mantle's restaurant, you think you're funny? I'll tell you what funny is, Stephen Colbert. I'm not a big drinker. I don't drink a lot. So I usually have a Diet Coke, you know, in order to, because if you didn't have a long enough disco nap, you're going to fall asleep about, you know, 11:45.
Sure.
So I have a little bit of caffeine, Diet Coke, in a glass, and I sip
right
that
through the
night.
Right there at the Cafe
Carl. But they brought the champagne around. They brought the nice flutes. It was like the last episode of The Bachelor. You know, they were pouring all this stuff around. And I just had this Diet Coke. And I said, give me a shot of champagne in there, for crying out loud.
In the Diet Coke.
In the Diet Coke. And everybody says, you are insane. I said, well, I may be insane, but I want to celebrate the season. So I had a sip of this. Stephen, it was delicious.
I heard this story, and so I wanted to see
how it goes on.
Diet Coke right. first.
Just Diet Coke.
Diet Coke first.
You know, yeah. Put the.
There you
put
go.
It,
you put it.
I'm
it.
Gonna say.
How much?
I had it down to about a third of my Diet Coke. That yeah. makes sense. Now it doesn't have to be Coca-Cola. It could be any cola product.
But diet.
But it needs to be. Well, yeah, because I'm type 2 diabetes.
You know,
Got to maintain the temple. And what's better than type 2 diabetes than a little shot of champagne in your Diet Coke?
So I cap it off here?
Just,
there you go. This is exactly what the folks at Veuve Clicquot intended,
by the way. That
this recipe can also be found in the Book of the Revelation.
That's right.
Now, first of all,
look at the color. Is it
it's
not,
gorgeous.
Is it not kind of gorgeous, right?
It's like an American Aperol Spritz.
And I want to say, happy 2023.
Happy 2023.
How about that? Everybody at the table tried it. They said, ooh, you know what, Dad? That's pretty good. So, and we have
a Tom Collins. We have the Tom Hanks.
Well, good. Good.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, that's
I
all
didn't
right.
Know.
We were debating what the name of it should be,
yes.
and I came up with it because it is Coke and it's champagne, so it's obviously Diet Cocaine. Cocaine. C-O-K-A-G-N-E. So, but I don't mind with the.
That is
I don't
really
mind.
What's quite
the other,
pleasant.
What's the other name you said?
A Tom Hanks.
Well, let's go with that. But confess. It's pretty good. It's actually pretty good.
It's strangely, strikingly, shamefully good.
Because
it's so refreshing. Because it's like, you know, you give that little caffeine too, man.
Uh-huh.
Just keep you going through that champagne.
That's right. Oh, you'll polish both of them off. The
right.
six pack and the. And
oh,
the,
I can finish a Diet Coke.
And the Magnum.
I'm no lightweight. I can finish a Diet Coke.
Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Two fisted Coke drinker.
Yeah,
I love that.
We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Tom Hanks.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Hey, everybody, we're back here with the star of the new movie, a man called Otto, Mr. Tom Hanks. The new film is A Man Called Otto. You and your lovely wife, Rita, produced this film, developed it from a Swedish film called A Man Called Ove.
Ova, as they would say.
Ova. Tell the good people what it's about.
Well, it's about the crank in the neighborhood. It's about the guy in the neighborhood who says, get off my lawn, keep that dog away from me, you can't park there. Don't you people know, for crying out loud, that the recyclables are clearly delineated, the plastic goes in the plastic bin, the cans go in the can. What's wrong with you? Why can you not separate these things the way they need to be separated? That's who the man is.
That's investment. That's emotional investment.
By the way, are you the Otto in your neighborhood? Is the Stephen Colbert guy?
No, I think my wife.
Did Ebby come out every minute? Oh, yeah, Ebby's the
one. Oh, she's the muscle.
A woman named Ebby.
She's the muscle.
Careful
now.
Yeah,
exactly.
There's a reason that he is his way, and what happens is a fabulous, actress Mariana Treviño, who is a huge actress in actor in Mexico, is in it. She moves across the street, and all hell busts loose.
Now we got a clip here. Can you explain what's going on here? It's you and Carr.
She does not know how to drive a stick shift automobile.
Is this the
which
the...
is insanity to a man called Otto, who cannot drive, for crying out loud, you don't know how to drive a car. If you can't drive a stick, you are not actually driving a car. And so he says, I will teach you how to drive this car. A stick.
Jim.
Just wait for the green light. And here we go. So press in on the clutch. And give it a little gas. Slowly let out on the car. Oh, you're not in gear. Hey, look, don't have to turn the key. Just press it.
Oh my God.
Press it.
Espérame tantito.
Slowly let out the clutch. Press on the gas. Now you listen to me. You have given birth to two children. You learned a new language. You will have no problem learning how to drive. My God, the world is full of complete idiots who have managed to figure it out, and you are not a complete idiot. So, clutch. Shift, gas, drive.
And there you have it. All you have to do.
It's message of hope is what it is.
As I have instructed somebody, the only thing, who here cannot drive a stick shift? Let's see the hand. Oh, you're all idiots for crying out loud. What country did you grow up in? The secret of driving a shift is just don't be in third. That's the only thing you're in third.
There's no reason to ever be in third.
You're in third. All right, clutch in, wear the brake at the same time, put it in gear, and let the clutch out slowly. You're in third gear.
Do you remember learning? Like the car, the first.
Oh, you know, I'll tell you when back a couple years after Bosom Buddies, and I had some money in the bank. Mm. I went to my crack staff business manager to say, "Can I buy any car I want now?" And they said, "Actually, yeah, you pretty much can." So I went out and bought a Volkswagen Camper that had a steering wheel that was this big.
I thought you were
going
to say you bought a Lamborghini.
Oh, who cares? I'm not big on cars. So it had a steering wheel that was like truly this big, and the gear shift, it was a stick, was over here. It was like I was operating a backhoe or something like that, almost like that. And you have not experienced panic until a hill in San Francisco and a stoplight.
Oh.
And you have to not only get it, but you got to do the heel and the toe with the brake and the accelerator and slowly let out. And you have to be in first gear.
The problem, you don't have to be in first gear because the car I learned to drive stick on was when I was doing a construction job one summer between my junior and senior year of high school. And the owner, I had to drive his truck to get supplies. It didn't have a first gear. First gear was completely burned out.
Oh, burned out.
So I had to start in second gear, which means you had to get those RPs up like the bomb was about to explode and you had to take your foot off the clutch like you were defusing a nuclear weapon.
But I'm guessing you all, but you had to like do a little bit to get, it had to get rolling a little bit.
I don't know, that's all I know is that I could not take my foot off the clutch slowly enough to make it work.
I believe that's how James Bond was almost killed in a movie.
Yes.
Mr. Bond.
Her Majesty's Secret Service, that's exactly.
Yeah, this Aston Martin has no first gear, Mr. Bond, and you will be driving down the Autobahn. I hope somehow you can, you know. Do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die.
Did you enjoy. People have this mistake.
Hold on just one second, would you? Oh, it's been a day, Stephen. It's been such a day.
Oh, my God. People are under the mistaken impression that you're a pleasant person. And was it satisfying to play a grumpy person, let it all out?
Have you ever wanted to smash the TV remote against the wall and storm out of the room? This was like for me every day. It was magnificent. Satisfying moment of what just let out the crank because almost when I'm around the house, everybody knows that I've gone off the deep end when I begin a conversation with this phrase. Let me get this straight. here goes Dad. What did we do, Dad? Did we leave the rice pot in the sink not scrubbed out? Did we?
So that's a level of crisis.
It's massive with me. Let me get this straight. Nothing works for me, and that's the other thing. Why would it work for me? Oh, Dad's yelling down, so why would the remote work for me? I press menu, I press power, I press input, I press mode. I went on the app and
you
I found
mode?
The right app, whatever.
You have mode?
It's all down there. It's like on, off, why can't that be?
Ka-chunk, ka-chunk.
That's all it takes, and it never works for me. I was once trying to get a DVD to play, and I pressed so many buttons on the DVD player, you know where it says open, says close, or it says reading?
Yeah.
I swear to God, it said goodbye.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Tom Hanks.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
We're back here, star of stage and screen, star of the new movie, A Man Called Otto, Tom Hanks. Now, your son, Truman Hanks, plays you in the flashbacks.
He does, yes.
Did you give him any acting advice?
Try to look like me as much as possible. We actually are kind of, that's why he got the gig, because he's a dead ringer for me at 20s. And Mark Forster, who is our director, says, you know, it's always so fake when you get some other actor to play you in flashbacks. Why can't I just get one of your kids to play you?
Did Arnold Schwarzenegger direct this movie?
I said, get to the chopper. I told Truman, I said, Truman, get to the chopper Mark, like your dad would get to the chopper.
If you're watching,
everybody get down.
Mark is from Zurich, so he speaks
speaks there are Swiss, differentiators. So
that's what it is. And so they got together. I said, this is totally my son, because my son actually is a, he's a cinematographer. He's in the camera union here in New York,
oh,
and
there
he
you
works
go,
on camera, camera
union,
utility.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
And that's what he wants to do. And I said, ask him. It would be a great experience if he does a number of things. If he learns his lines, knows the text, have an idea, and shows up on time. If he can do those four things, that's actually kind of like the base level of being an actor in a movie.
The advice I've given my kids, just in general, like being in business, is just like be enthusiastic and competent. And that means like be happy to be there and never be late.
There you go.
That's it. And that's I said you work for the rest of
you
your life.
You don't have to be qualified, you have to be colorful.
Yes. I actually say, like, when you're really young and on the job, don't be impressive. You'll just make people nervous.
Oh, yeah.
Just and, show up.
Well, and by the way, honestly, why prepare at all? Just wing the whole thing.
And improv, that's where it's
at. By
the
way, it worked for you
worked
pretty
out,
well.
Yeah, worked out pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
Now...
By the way... That would just say, who has more pressure on them in this thing? Look how much of this he's drunk, and look, I'm still right there.
I've done a whole monologue. I'm thirsty. You're back there eating
what?
My free cheese.
Oh, what? You're? It's the end of my day. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, says Stephen Colbert.
Mm-hmm. No, midnight, actually. Now, here's the dealio. Everybody loves their Tom Hanks movies. Everybody's got their favorite Tom Hanks lines.
Is that like right? The things.
Oh, everybody does.
Everybody's got
a favorite Tom Hanks line. Last night, as a matter of fact, having nothing to do with the fact that we're here tonight, we were sitting in around the living room, and Evie and my son, and we're trying to figure out whether to, like, watch another movie or, like, to go to bed, and she turned to us and she said, gentlemen, what are your intentions?
Oh,
okay,
beautiful.
A little Apollo 13.
Do you
have a favorite Tom Hanks line from all the Tom Hanks movies?
It would be, if you can name it, I'll pour you another drink. It is, boys, we go. Anybody? Boys, we go. That thing you do. Thank you very much. Pour this. There you go. That lady. It is, I know it's not one of the bigger ones, but I loved it every time I said it. And I do use it all the time, you know.
I must say,
Rita doesn't appreciate it sometimes. Because, hey, that's honey, true. We're late. Boys, we go. We gotta get going.
Your character, Otto, in the movie has a quarter that he carries for his own personal
from
reasons.
From 1964.
1964. And I'm curious, is there any little talisman or thing that you keep with yourself?
Well, I have a typewriter from a great man who I just lost, by the way, Michael John McGann. He was a fabulous guy. Yeah. He was the reason I first moved to New York City. I had a union card in my pocket that said I was a professional actor. He says, you need to be in New York. So we came here together. He shepherded me through it. He had shared an apartment on Upper 91st. I'm talking 1978 now. Mm. And the first night I was in New York, we went out, we walked from his house on Upper Broadway, and I actually said to him, where is everybody going? Because there were so many people out on the street, you know. I thought, is there a hockey game starting nearby? It was like, is the circus in town? I actually, where is everybody going?
To quote a great man, Tom Hanks is not a big drinker. I'm sorry, go ahead.
By the way, I believe in certain cultures that is good luck. So, sorry about that.
No worries at all.
Sorry about
that. I mean, I can't top that, Tom.
Nah, but we can top it off, can't we, big boy?
Sure.
Get that out there. Get out.
There you go.
You know,
well, Tom,
is there anything sadder than a spilled drink, Stephen? Just enough.
Tom Hanks, thank you for educating me to what will ultimately be my downfall. Coca-Cola and champagne. A Man Called Otto is in theaters now. It's Tom Hanks, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wild Card, wherever you get your podcasts. Only from NPR.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.